Today I'm going to be reading from 1 Kings 17, verses 2 to 6. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here and turn eastward and hide in the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed ravens to supply you with food there." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan. He stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Now I'm going to pray for Tim. I pray for Tim as he preaches for us today, and that you will speak through him and bless him. Amen.
And thank you so much, Emily. Welcome again, everyone, to part two of our Walking with God series. Today we're exploring how God prepares us for the challenges of life. Last week we saw how Elijah was living through some of the darkest days of Israel's history. Her king, if you remember, Ahab, was utterly compromised, like many political leaders. He wanted to give the impression that he was good, that he followed God, even gave his children biblical names. But the truth was so different. Through his marriage to Jezebel and their active pursuit of Baal worship, it led to a terrible situation, the rich prospering, the poor suffering, morality kind of going out of the window, and people turning away from God. And in the midst of this, Elijah kind of confronts Ahab, we saw that last week, with an announcement of God's judgment, a drought coming on the land. And you can imagine this dramatic moment as Elijah kind of speaks the truth to power and everyone's jaws kind of hit the floor, you know, wondering what is going to happen next as he's confronted this wicked king. Well, amazingly, he just walks out of the palace. No one stops him. This is kind of like a real high point. He's probably thinking, wow, what a victory. Surely things are going to change. What's going to be next? Perhaps a preaching tour, training prophets, maybe even Ahab begging forgiveness. Have you ever had those moments in life where you think things are going to change? Perhaps you've obeyed God and you've prayed for something and you're like, surely God is going to act. Well, God does act here, but not in a way anyone would expect. So we've just read verse 2. The word of the Lord came to Elijah, says, "Leave here, turn eastward and hide in the Kereth ravine." Elijah is told basically, go back to the place he's come from and hide. There's no quick turnaround or answer to prayer. The darkness actually increases and Elijah's going to be in a time of obscurity, isolation in the desert. Why? You know, that's not what we expect to happen when people become famous overnight. You think of someone like Greta Thunberg, you know, speaking truth to power, you know, and her profile just goes up and up. And yet God's strategy seems to be the complete opposite. Why are God's people so often led into obscurity? Well, we read in the Bible in one year this week about Joseph. You know, how he had a dream from God, yet sold into slavery and then spends his prime years in prison. We think about Moses, dispatched by God to the desert for 40 years. Or the Apostle Paul, amazing conversion and then sent back home to Tarsus. For years, we hear nothing. Even Jesus, much of his life unrecorded, then begins his ministries, baptized, and then immediately sent to the desert. Perhaps we shouldn't be surprised when these desert times come. Maybe you are in a desert time at the moment. You know, unfulfilled hopes and dreams, unanswered prayer. What is God doing? I wonder if you've ever had an experience where you thought you were ready for something but found out you weren't. I remember about 10 years ago, we were staying at my parents' in London, and my brother-in-law suggested we went for a run together. Now, I hadn't run since I was a teenager, and so I said, well, how far do you run? And he said, well, about 10K, and I thought, well, oh, we can give it a go. So I borrowed a pair of trainers of my dad, and we went for a run. And I was pretty fit. I did plenty of cycling and surfing, and we ended up doing the whole 10K in about 50 minutes, which isn't bad. And I was thinking, oh, I'm quite good at this. And so 3 days later, I went for another run, another 10K, and I tried to go a bit faster. And then the next day, I literally couldn't move. My body had seized. I was in agony, and I actually tried to hide it and cover it up, but I couldn't. I was in so much pain, and I just felt so stupid. You know, I wasn't ready. I didn't have the training or the strength I needed. And there's a spiritual parallel here. You know, sometimes we aren't ready for what is coming. And so God takes us to the desert. And this is really important, not for kind of punishment, but for preparation. Because there are often things that God needs to do in us before he works through us. Things we can actually only learn in the desert. Two key points of preparation we see here in the life of Elijah. Firstly, learn to sit before you stand. Before Elijah can stand on Mount Carmel against Ahab, and we're going to see this amazing kind of encounter in weeks to come, he has to learn to sit with God at the Kereth Ravine. This is all about dependence on God. Look, verse 4, he says this, "You will drink from the brook, and I've ordered the ravens to feed you there." And this is a huge test for Elijah. This is no spa retreat. A brook on the edge of the desert is the first thing to dry up in a drought. You know, Elijah is quickly going to be in a situation where he is completely dependent on God. Have you ever been in a situation like that? Completely dependent on God's provision? Well, the answer actually is yes, all of us has. Every day we're in that situation. Your next breath depends on God. But often we don't live with that reality. Instead, we can kind of have the illusion we're self-sufficient. You know, when life is going smoothly, perhaps you've got the job, the home, friends, and we can think it's down to us. We can even think we're doing God a favor by, you know, going to church or giving or whatever. And we forget that everything we have is dependent on God, the one who gives us health, the ability to work and everything. You know, in the desert, you know, like in a time of pandemic, we come face to face with the reality that unless God provides, we're sunk. It's a time of kind of stripping away all the external comforts and distractions. And that's not an easy experience. We've just heard Josie's testimony of her own challenge with poor mental health and the wonderful comfort that she has received from God's presence. But she describes how it's been a battle to trust. And actually, that battle continues after baptism. We see that in Jesus's experience in the desert. The devil comes to him to kind of trip him up. The desert is a place of internal struggle. It's about daring to pay attention to the inside with kind of all its mess and complexity. You know, one of my favorite Charlie McAtee pictures is this. It says, "Isn't it odd? We can only see our outsides, but nearly everything happens on the inside." You know, in the desert, God wants to work on the inside so that we can learn to depend on him and to depend especially on his word. In Matthew 4, verse 4, Jesus answered the devil in the desert, says, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." That's what Anthony was talking about earlier. You know, Elijah has to learn that meeting with God, feeding on his word, is his greatest source of strength. And Billy Graham, as a famous Christian of the past, said this, "Nothing will help us grow spiritually more than spending time alone with God, every day reading his word and praying." You know, Billy Graham was used in amazing ways by God, but when asked what he'd do differently in life, he said, "Well, I'd study more, I'd preach less." He said, "I'd spend less time traveling and more time in prayer." You know, preparation is absolutely key. Learning to practice the presence of God is absolutely vital for our spiritual strength. Just like there's no shortcut to kind of strengthening muscles, you have to do the exercise regularly. If you don't, you're going to get injured. So we need daily feeding and strengthening from the Lord. You know, maybe you feel frustrated at this time of lockdown and its restrictions, when in fact it could be a wonderful opportunity to spend more time with God, maybe to spend time with God for the very first time. And that can be challenging to make happen. Perhaps that means getting up before others in your house. For me, I found it helpful to get out and walk and listen to God's word or to journal. Others have particular places in their homes, a chair they sit in, or even like Charles Wesley's mum, who used to just simply put an apron over her head and tell her children not to disturb her because that meant she was praying. You know, if you want to see God, then you need to make time to sit. Just like if you want to see the stars, you have to get out of town, away from all the noise and the lights, and then you can see. Are you seeing God at the moment? And that leads us to the other thing that Elijah has to learn. He needs to learn to sit, but also he needs to learn to follow. Learn to follow before you lead. Verse 3 is not just an invitation. It's actually a command to leave here and go. You know, despite all the possible objections to the destination in the desert, in verse 5, we read that Elijah did what the Lord told him. He went there and he stays there. The key to Elijah's power is very simple. He obeys. You know, one of the most important things in our walking with God is learning to obey his voice, to do what he says. You know, you can tell if you trust by whether you obey. And there's great encouragement here because obedience leads to blessing, even in places that look barren, become places of abundant provision. As Elijah discovers when he gets brought meat twice a day, it says in verse 6. He discovers that God always keeps his promises. He discovers that he can trust God's word even more than his kind of own judgment and logic. But notice that God's leading only comes as he obeys. You see, in verse 2, Elijah only receives this instruction from the Lord about what to do next, after he's completed his original task of appearing before Ahab. There's a clear link between obedience on the one hand and direction. You know, often we want the whole map, you know, all the steps of where God is leading us. But God wants us to learn to trust and obey on a daily basis. He wants a real relationship with us. You know, one of the verses people love most in the Bible is actually our daily read, one of the daily readings today. Proverbs 3:5-6 says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. You know, at the heart of that verse is obedience. Obedience. Elijah, you know, could have missed the place of provision. If he'd chosen to lean on his own understanding and say, well, I actually need to go to this place, he would have missed it. As the old hymn says, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. He shows the way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who trust and obey. You know, when we tell people all you need is to trust Jesus, we're not telling the whole story. You know, walking with God is about following Jesus too, following him in obedience. Oswald Chambers wrote, one step forward in obedience is worth years of study about it. But how do you obey if you don't want to? How do you get an appetite for God when it's not there? You probably noticed in your own life that just trying harder doesn't work, or at least not for very long. And this is why we have to keep coming back to Jesus. You see, as we struggle to obey, we have to come back to dependence, to come and sit again, because our dependence and our obedience don't ultimately rest on the inner resources we have. They rest on the resources that God has provided for us freely in Christ. You know, the heart of our faith, we see Jesus, the only person ever to be totally dependent and obedient to God, dying the death that you'd expect of the disobedient. On the cross, you see, Jesus takes our place, which is wonderfully where we receive forgiveness. But there's even more happening at the cross. You see, the cross is how God works on the inside. The cross is how we get cleansed and also how we get transformed. Because it opens the way for the coming of the Spirit of God in our lives. This is the offer as told by Isaiah. Come, all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost, because the cost has been paid for by Jesus. It's a wonderful invitation for thirsty people. It's an amazing offer to come and sit at the brook of God's presence. And unlike Elijah's brook, this living water of the Spirit never runs dry. How do you receive it? Well, one of Jesus' followers, Peter, sums it up like this. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit changing you from the inside out. You know, baptism is a wholehearted show of dependence on God. And a commitment to say, look, I want to turn from sin and follow you. And this is a picture of what needs to be a daily reality in our lives, saying, Jesus, I need you. I need your living water. I need your power. And Jesus promises that whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Are you thirsty this morning? Come and drink. Let's pray together. Do you need to receive this living water today? Maybe for the first time, or maybe you just run dry. Let's pray. You can echo this prayer in your heart. Come, Lord Jesus. I choose to sit in your presence. Come and do for me what I cannot do for myself. Come and cleanse me. Come and forgive me. Come and fill me by the power of your cross. Come, Lord Jesus. I choose to follow you. Help me trust and obey you in all I do. Be Lord of my life, I pray. Amen.